This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, Leah. Hey. Sit down, you sexy thing. How are you?
You're making me blush, yeah.
Of course I'm going to make you blush. Yes. I've known you a long time.
You have.
We have, huh?
We've had some good times. I was just telling Amanda some dirty secrets.
Go on. Share them, share them with everybody. You can't just tell Amanda.
The floor's yours.
I have to tell you, I don't think you've ever looked better.
Oh, thank you
very much. I like the hair. You're looking fantastic. What have you been doing?
I appreciate it. You know, I'm always on my health mission.
Yeah, you're gymming up a storm. What are you doing?
And lose weight. It's the story of my life.
What do you run?
No, I go to gym. I try to
eat well.
Thank God
you're done running. So dumb.
No, I can't. I can run for like a minute on and off.
Saw these people this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning running down the road. I'm like, what kind of self-loathing do you have to have in you to run on a road at 5 in the morning? And they do it in winter too.
I know, but there's this cool thing. It's called Switch. It's like literally it looks like a nightclub. There's lights go off, like scanners, smoke machine, DJ, and you literally do a circuit with trainers. So as you're doing it, the lights go off and the smoke's blowing.
You love it. Isn't that a bit disorientating though? Because you associate that with kind of work, but now you're working out at the same time.
Yeah, but you're pushing hard. It's so cool.
Like that'd be so strange.
Pre-workout.
That'd be so strange for us to go into a radio studio gym because we'd be talking and then, oh my gosh, I'm going to squat as well.
And then sometimes I play there. And then I get FOMO because I'm not actually training.
So Leah, what's been happening with
you? You've just turned 40.
Oh, Jesus. Bring that
up. You look great for 40. Well, you look great in general.
You're very sweet. I turned 40, 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago?
Where was the party? Why wasn't I invited?
Okay, so I didn't want to have a party. I didn't want to make a fuss of the whole thing because I don't like attention, first of all. And second of all, I don't think 40 is... I don't want to celebrate this. To me, this is the beginning of the end.
No.
Oh, no. You still have more than half your life, give or take.
My dad was 60 when I was born. He said his life only...
Really?
Yeah, he said his life only started at 50.
So you had a really old dad growing up. When he would come and fetch you from school, people would go, is that your grandfather? Because I'm going to have kids when I'm old. I've decided that.
Yeah, a lot, Lamiki. It's the best.
Old. Are you frozen your sperm?
You don't have to when you're a man.
Please, a man.
But look how grouchy he is, though. He'll really have to.
You think Mike? You're going to have like
your
crabby,
craggy old spit? Will be like, I'm not in the mood today.
What with all the sex shows on Cliff Central? I don't even know about it.
It's please, keep let's you not so bring young. That up and sully this beautiful interview.
We know that.
So
too.
Your dad, he had you when he was 60. Is your mom super young?
No, my mom was 40. So.
Okay, well, that's still quite young. So she must have been a hottie when he picked her up.
I think so. You know, back in the day.
A big age gap, huh?
Very much so.
20 years. Was your dad
funny enough, my dad had a daughter when he was 18.
Sure. So he was busy. First daughter at 18. It's almost like Mick Jagger.
Yeah, she's older. My sister's older than my mother.
That's amazing. That is so cool. I like that a lot.
But yeah. No, so my sister's now 76.
Where do you think the talent comes from?
Oh, no, he was a Casanova, hey?
Mm-hmm.
He was a Jewish diamond, used to sell diamonds and trade diamonds. And, you know, the Jewish blood is...
The chicks loved it, huh?
Yeah, and they, even at the age of 70, 80, they'll still be squeezing girls' bums. They love it.
Men, we don't get adult at any point. We remain, you know, hopelessly horny all the time.
But that's good.
You think?
Keep the woman young.
Oh, no.
Well, I think your dad had the right idea. Like, you want a woman who's 20 years younger than you. She will keep you young. She will also, she'll inject the energy. She won't let you become one of those miserable, stuck in your ways kind of.
No, his 75th birthday was like the biggest party ever.
Did you DJ?
No.
That would have been cool.
It was just before I started DJing, actually.
Wow. All right, so let's just talk because you are, I mean, a lot of us know you as a DJ, but you started Divas on Dex.
Yes.
Which, I mean, that was out of the blue. It was a complete revolution. It was about females who are DJs. You started the agency for all of them. Because there were a lot of girls doing this. I always felt sorry. Yeah, I dated Nicole Fox for a while and she'd go to these gigs on her own.
Yeah.
And like, it's difficult for a girl to... First of all, the nightclub scene is not always safe. It's not always friendly.
Mm.
Girls have a tough time because they have to work that much harder to get the attention and to get the feedback.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think it's exactly the opposite.
I think you've had a role in changing that. It wasn't in the beginning.
I don't know. Like, when I started DJing, there weren't many female DJs. But because I was a female DJ, I stood out.
Yeah.
And although people would say, oh, there's a girl standing there DJing, so I would get noticed very quickly, but I suppose I'd also... They'd also be like, let's see if she actually can DJ. So I'd need to prove myself. But I wasn't worried about that. I knew that, you know, I loved what I did and I could make a crowd rock. So in my opinion, you would get recognized quicker as a female DJ. People would notice you.
So you saw it as a
Plus, bonus.
Not
yeah,
as a definitely. Okay.
And I mean, I've never been like a little scaredy cat, you know, like very timid, walking into clubs feeling intimidated or anything like that. I'm quite a tough cookie.
Well, you're from the East Rand.
I'm actually not. I'm from Pretoria, which is even, you're from Pretoria.
I'm from Pretoria.
I'm a Pretoria girl. I've been all my life.
I don't know when we, when did we first meet? We must have been at a gig together.
Oy. No, wasn't it at at five, perhaps.
It could have been at five.
And then obviously a couple of gigs here and there.
No, I remember and going to a few of your gigs. Jeez, you had parties. You still do.
I do, yeah. Oh. Things haven't really changed.
You're not tired of it, huh?
No, it keeps me young.
Yeah, it does.
Playing, you know?
I always used to explain to people, like, you meet people between the age of 18 and 70 on any given night.
Yeah.
And it forces you, first of all, to really understand every generation in between 18 and 70. And you can have amazing conversations. You meet very cool people. You do make friends. Like, I made some friends because you would do Durban, Cape Town, PE, Bloom. So wherever you go,
you've got people that you can hook up with.
Right. And then those people come to the gigs and you have a party together. So it almost feels like you're seeing all your friends in the satellite arrangement.
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically how we met. I think we had a couple of friends that were in common and lots of tequila.
Damn right.
Ooh.
Do you still drink lots of tequila?
I yeah, binge. What does. I do is I'll like last weekend in Cape Town, I definitely had one night where it was just raucous debauchery. And debauchery. Yeah, but not as much. Because I don't think I'd handle the hangovers very well. I know I don't.
Yeah.
It takes me a lot longer to get back. Like Amanda... She could probably wolf down a bottle of tequila and it would hit her hard, but she'd recover.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
I think she would recover fast because she's 20.
Serious?
Yeah, she's
the
a baby.
Idea, the
she's
thought a baby this. Of it now.
Oh. You could come on, Amanda. You could, right? I mean, you had an experience just the other day.
Yeah, no, definitely. I could she's have tough. Like a tequila challenge with someone.
And right now, her face is like covered.
About, right?
She's beaming with pride with this.
Now, this is a moment, this is where, you know, like we would say, well, we got this award and, you know, this is the business you started. And Amanda will go like, I can knock back a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Maybe two bottles of wine, yes.
In the old days, you could.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
hit the tequilas. You weren't scared.
No, I'm still not scared. I mean, now I can have five or six or seven shots
only.
And I'll still be okay.
Yeah, I just want to leave here and party with you right now.
Yes. Oh,
I'm no. serious. Yeah, I do.
I'm playing at the Sands tonight.
Oh, really? Yes. Okay, well, that's a very nice the venue. Sands that could tonight. Be fun. Ben and Amanda go up on the roof this morning and they're going to have a hubbly together.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Starting the weekend with a hubbly.
Oh.
Why don't you stay for that?
Sure.
Okay, we'll all go.
I'm going for a tattoo straight after this. So
how many tattoos have you got?
I mean, is it individual tattoos or adding on to existing ones?
Okay, so you don't have a full sleeve or any of that stuff?
No, I've almost got like half a full leg.
Really?
A wild calf, sort
Whoa.
Of thing.
Whoa. Nice.
I don't know.
Show that shit off.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's some flowers, birds.
Yeah, it's like a family piece.
See, what I've
and
always
stuff,
liked
and my
about.
Back and arms
what I've always things. Liked about you is you've managed to be this real like party. DJ girl, but at the same time, because it can be rough, but you're so feminine as well. Like, you really are a girl. Like, you
lady.
You do. Well, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I mean, like, you're girly. You're not one of those rough, you know, angry, like, DJ bitches. You know what I'm talking about? Because there are some of those who are scary and they're intimidating and they, like, get up in front of the crowd and they're good at that. But when they come off the stage, they're morose and like.
Jeez, no, I've been through phases. Like, you know, when I had my Mohican and dreadlocks and stuff, people were scared of me.
But you look like that. You never really changed your personality.
No. I mean, if you know me, then you know how I am. But I've had people come up to me and say, you know, all those years, you always had like this look on your face, like you didn't like me or something like that.
Yeah, but that's,
I don't know. Maybe I'm just more friendly to someone.
Well, I think people also are intimidated by confidence.
That's possible.
That happens, right. And then they say, oh, you had this look on your face. But really, it comes from them being not so secure.
Insecure,
to come and say hello.
No, I get that. Yes, well, I try.
You did something in 1999 that I thought was pretty brave, because people don't really buy records.
Yes.
And even at that stage, it was starting to, well, maybe not then. I mean, you were how old when you did that?
19?
Yeah, I mean, you opened a record shop.
Yes. With my brother and Roger Deluxe at the time, his name was. But now, I had already been playing for about 5 years.
You started at like 14?
Yeah.
How did you get into clubs at 14 to DJ?
I don't know. I always looked a little bit older. It's kind of like, you know, I was behind the DJ box. And I always sort of like, at that stage, I was offering to play for free and bring my own equipment and that sort of thing. So the club owners weren't too fussed.
And it was like a bit of a gimmick, because you got a 14-year-old girl DJ.
But I didn't look 14.
Sure.
I don't think anyone thought I was.
But you got a young girl DJing, and you were really good.
I don't know if I was good
at
that stage.
You might have been.
I think with the way you.
But they put you on at like 3 in the morning or something, right?
Actually, I would take like the chill room, because back then there were still chill rooms, you know, with like bean bags where people would like rub Tiger Balm and stuff.
Oh.
And
sounds like strip clubs, but it's
really
not. Yeah,
no, you're like that, but basically. And and I would just bring like 2 speakers and my little like Gemini rack-mounted CD player with, you know, little buttons. And myself and my brother would just play a whole bunch of mixed trance and whatever from the beginning of the night to the end. So for the club owners, they were like, oh sweet, well, you know, there's some music in my chill room for the night, and I don't have to. I think they used to give us a bar tab or something.
Yeah,
so we did that for a while. And then I was quite the persistent young DJ that was always up in the owner's face, like, please can I play main floor, you know, I'll close the floor, I'll play when the sun's up, I'll play to the cleaners, whatever, you know, 50 rand. And we did. And eventually we were creating this morning.
Bring us some water for late. Really, Amanda, what do you want to dry up? You wanted to dry up and curl up on the floor and die? You heard the woman has a thirst for tequila.
Sorry.
Bring us some now.
Tequila! No, and I mean, we started creating this morning sunrise set that people used to come from Joburg, you know, and eventually we used to be called the Morning Surgeons.
Which club was this at?
DNA in Pretoria.
Oh, wow, that place was legendary. Crazy, I never went, but I used to hear about it.
Jeez. It was like 3 levels. It had this huge field outside. It used to go like till lunchtime the next day. You know, it was crazy.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, madness.
And so you basically started something new there as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, eventually then they gave us the, you know, some main sets and stuff. So we started making a name for ourselves, and then we moved to the old ESP and then started getting gigs in here, doing our own events as well. I think as a young DJ, that's an important thing, is to do your own events, headline yourself.
Yeah.
Book other people that might be doing other events elsewhere, that, you know, maybe it's like a trade exchange thing.
Uh-huh.
And then you're playing everywhere, you know, so building up your brand like that.
And before you know it, you know all the promoters, you know all the clubs, and they know you, and they go, oh, I know who to call, Lady Leah.
Yes. And then things started getting very, very busy for me with Catch Me If You Can albums and that. And I think it's kind of when Divas on Decks came back, because I did a Divas on Decks album with Alicia and Kate Sutherland. That was a bit earlier. But what happened was I was so fully booked, and people were calling me and they were like, oh, but can you play? And I'm like, sorry, I'm fully booked. But and then they'd say, do you have another female DJ? And eventually I was doing all these female DJ referrals.
Yeah.
And that's when I created the agency.
This is a business. Yeah.
And we'd have Divas on Decks parties and, you know, featuring. And I'd audition the girls, make sure they could play and mentor them a little bit, help them. But, you know, it's different when you're an agent to sort of like unknown DJs. You're trying to bring them up, you know, Because what happens is, and what happened, and it was very heart sore for me, was a lot of the ladies eventually, when they got popular and started getting a lot of gigs, they just did it privately.
They wouldn't come so to you anymore.
No. So well, I spent all my money on them, mentored them and whatever, and then they went and did it privately, which kind of like broke my heart a bit. But, you know, there's still quite a few I still work with.
Who were the ones who stuck with you who've become successful? Because who, know, cares, a lot who cares about those bitches who left?
There were a lot that did stick with me but are not playing anymore. So, like, things okay. like female DJs, you know, a big
give me,
turning
give me a
point
few names,
in their
cause
career.
People will know these. They'll know these names.
Well, there's a girl in Pretoria by the name of Nini C, Nadine. I think yeah. you know her and her boyfriend,
I
Dylan.
Do. Yeah.
You know, it's, the ladies have come and gone. Yeah, the big turning point in ladies in
it's
their
a long,
lives.
And it's a long time to think about. There were a lot of people.
Well, the thing is that the moment they fall pregnant as well, oh, and most of them stop.
These pregnant girls. Oh. And then they give up on that terrific career by getting goddamn pregnant.
I'm telling you, when I fell pregnant, everyone was like, oh, you're going to stop DJing now?
You were like, no.
Are you mad? But I was still playing when I was 9 months.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
She was out there.
That's a whole new definition to like bumping and grinding.
And also people think that if you're doing the kind of job you do, you can't be a mom as well, which is nonsense.
No, you can. It's very hard. You need a lot of support at home. So you need, you know, your mom and your, well, granny and nanny and all that. But you'll still get like hardly any sleep.
What kind of a mom are you?
I'm a cool mom. I have my moments. I'm very strict at times.
Yeah. Have you got one or two?
I've got a son, and then my partner has a daughter. So we like a, you know, big happy family now.
So your son, yes. How old is he now?
5 and a half.
Wow. Okay.
He's such a character. I must actually bring him sometime.
You should. You see your own personality in him sometimes?
Yeah. Although he's not very musical in the sense of wanting to play music and stuff, but yes, he's very, very, very sweet, very bubbly, very caring,
clever,
super clever.
And do you think he's
nice little chubby? He's got mommy's legs.
Oh really?
Yeah. I just want to squish them. Oh, so nice.
No, nice.
Has, obviously, he's too young now, but has it crossed your mind that one day you might be playing? Because, I mean, you've got legs here, baby. You're going to be around a while.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to stop.
So you think you might be playing one day, and you might see your son sneak in and, like, be snogging some chick in the corner.
No, you'll be in the DJ box with me. I'll be hooking him up.
There we go. That's it. Now, that's a mom.
That's
a mom any guy wants.
I do it with all my DJs that I'm managing now. They'll phone me in the middle of the night, and they're like, yeah, I've got a problem. It's two girls and they both want to come home with me and I don't know what to do. And I'm like, take them both home.
Thank you. Good advice.
It's like episodes of Easter Egg.
Get
is
a bottle
coming
of tequila. I'll phone the manager. Yeah. Take them both home.
There we go. All right. So let's talk about this for a second, because the DJ scene, it probably in terms of just volume, was in its peak in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay. It was huge. The DJs were the rock stars of that time.
Yes.
From about 99 to like maybe 2011 even.
Yeah.
It was monstrous. The amounts of money that were paid to DJs, the size of clubs, the crowds that would come, the sort of parties. Obviously, it became festivals and it changed a little bit after that. But clubs themselves were in their peak during those 10, 11, 12 years.
Yeah, especially I would say like the underground clubs. Yeah. For sure. Look, I still think now the DJs are looked at as these gods, you know, especially to the young kids. Mm. But there's a lot of them at the moment, you know.
Well, there's maybe an oversupply, but there's also not as much money in the scene as there used to be. Like there are fewer clubs, right? And they're paying not as much as they would have to attract a much smaller audience. So they obviously have less budget.
Yeah. It really depends. I mean, but yes, they're booking the big guys less, I would say,
and
because
they
don't have much budget.
And if you have a reputation like you do, it pulls a crowd. So that's almost what they're paying for. They're not just paying for your set. You'll do a great professional set. But I remember I was a very average DJ. I wasn't good. Not like you. I mean, it wasn't my career. But I would be able to pull a crowd, and therefore they'd pay me for it.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
And then usually I would say, oh, thank God, Leah's here to play after me. So she'll satisfy the people who actually know something about music. Or hopefully you'd even be before me so that they wouldn't be drunk enough to have to hear my shitty set after your
good. Well, I don't think I could do what you do on the stage. It's, you know, it's different.
Look, I enjoyed it, but I did get to a point where I was... this happens with me. I get bored.
Do you still play then?
Uh-uh.
Really?
I haven't done a
gig.
Out
of choice?
I haven't done a gig in like 2 years. Yeah. And you know, it was difficult in the beginning to say no because the money's good. Mm. And you enjoy it and it's like part of your life. And you think, this is fun. And it is fun. You get to travel a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've got friends all over the country. You get to see them. And you do get... There's a bit of kind of... feel to it, like you're in the middle of the scene and things are revolving around you.
Yes.
But there also comes a point where I remember seeing a poster of another DJ once and I thought, that guy is 45 and he's doing Matric Rage. And I was like, don't know if that I could do that. Not me. I don't want to be going, you know, yo Matrix and they're 18 and I'm 45. That was never on my agenda. I'd feel odd about that, being in a club.
I don't know. I still feel young. So I feel
you
like
look
I
it
just...
too.
Hey. Oh yeah.
Thanks.
No, I think that it's different for you. Like it was just time for a brand rejuvenation for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not a DJ. Like you can bring out something amazing and it will change your career and you'll be fresh for another 5 years and then you'll
do something.
Yeah,
which I'm planning
new.
To do by
sure,
the way.
Of course you are. And there's freshness in what you're doing. But I was kind of this radio guy who was doing gigs. It's a different story. You can't keep doing that. It's a bit sad after a while.
Think so.
I think so. Nothing sadder than seeing some old radio DJ.
Would you do? You'd still do like MC stuff then?
Mm. I'd go like I would come with you and I'd come with you and party with you. But I won't. I'm not going to DJ and MC.
Okay, let's.
What are you doing this weekend? You said you're doing
oh,
the
Lord.
Sands.
Uh oh.
You're doing the Sands tonight.
The Sands tonight, and then tomorrow I'm just doing a private birthday thing. I was meant to be a Truth, but things changed on the last minute. Truth is
Amanda
still a cool
Truth.
Place to go to.
Amanda loves it.
You can be any age.
I went once and I did not like it.
Really? How long ago, no, though? Because it's been through its phases. It's actually very chilled now.
It's phases. I wonder what that means.
There's like stigma, but now it's chilled.
What's the craziest stuff you've seen when you've been DJing? Because you get to see it all. You're high up there in the DJ box. You see people... taking their clothes off. You see people passing out. You see insane shit in these clubs, right?
Yes, I do. Sure. I can't actually think you're putting me on the spot.
We don't have to name and shame. Just like when you... Because you've got stories. You look back on your career now, 20 years in DJing, and you go, I can't believe I saw that happening.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned rage. Rage is always super crazy because these are Matric.
Those kids...
But
they're getting ready for it now.
Yeah, these are kids that are now finished with school, and obviously they're just going balls to the walls.
Oh my god.
They
goodness.
Drink way too. I mean, you get there at 9, and there's already kids vomiting in the
9.
Yeah, like they'll be drinking all day.
Yeah,
well, it's probably their first vomit. In fairness.
I don't think so, too.
No, but I mean, like the second one comes a little bit later. It's there.
Well, Ben used to DJ.
It's super fun.
Ben used to DJ.
Is it?
I used to see that.
DJ Ben K. Yeah, he used to have a go.
Yeah, but when people go to the coast, they do lose their mind, though.
Yeah.
There's something about the drinking. It just...
Yeah.
But also that thing. Summer holiday vibe. The whole, like, I'm finished with school now.
I had some of the Matric flirting with me.
Yeah.
The last time I played at a Matric Rage. So it wasn't so long ago, maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. And the thing is, I was single. And like the one dude actually looked really cute and whatever. And while I was playing, I was like, then I started to think like, how old was I when he was in grade one when I was in Matric. I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
No, you don't think about that.
But you know what that is? That's your dad coming out in you. Yeah. That's your dad. You're like, how much younger can I go? How young can you go?
How young can you go?
I had a girl come up to me in Cape Town. It was this gallery launch on Wednesday night. And afterwards, there was this thing at this Truth coffee roastery thing. I thought Truth, and I thought, oh, Midrand Truth. But it was in Cape Town. And this girl came up to me and she said, look, she was kind of annoying, but she meant well. She came up to me and said, oh, you were You were DJing in Plett at My Matric Rage in 2007.
Yeah, I get that also.
10 years ago.
And I loved it. And I was like, oh, how awesome. And I thought, let me just do the calculations as well. You're figuring out the numbers in your head. But I mean, she was nice. She was very sweet. And I hope I behaved. I know there were parties where I totally lost my mind as well. You've done naughty shit.
I knew you were going to want to get some of that out of me.
Well, you're a mom now. I don't want to upset you. One day your son will find this podcast and he'll go, wow, my mom was terrible. But
no, I had a great time. You know, I still am having a great time, but I'm a good girl now. Mm. Now I'm like everyone's, I'm like the party starter, but I'm also the handbrake. You know what I mean? So.
And you said your partner earlier. How long have you guys been together?
It's almost 2 years now.
Really?
Yeah. So we've got a nice place here in the Vale. So I'm now in the East Rand.
East Rander.
Yeah, in East Rander. but it's only been since the beginning of the year.
It's a rough hood.
Hey, listen, I'm from Pretoria.
You can kick
it. You can handle anything.
I can handle it. No, it's actually very, very cool. And it's so close to everything. I'm used to this drive back to Pretoria in the middle of the night. And
those are
from Pretoria to the airport and after.
But if you've got gigs now, don't you Uber?
No. No.
I mean, because we used to drink. Yeah. I used to party. I wouldn't just do my set and go home.
Oh, then you were a mess every weekend.
No, I wasn't really, because you meet people. You're there to do...
But you don't have kids.
No, that's the point. Yeah. But even, I mean, before, when you didn't have kids.
Yeah.
So you would stay, because a lot of DJs arrive, they do their hour and they go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really why the crowd come. They want to meet Lady Leah. Yeah, they want to say hi. They want to take a picture with
you.
They want to
buy you around.
Now I try to do that before. So I go a little bit earlier.
Okay. That's smart. That's very clever.
There are times that I'll stay a little bit afterwards, but I have to wake up at, 7, 8 for my son. So...
There's
if
no
I'm
messing
lucky,
around.
I can have a nap later.
And you do weekday gigs as well?
If it comes in, sure. I don't turn gigs down,
Okay, let's talk about the best parties you've been at and the best parties you've DJed at. There must be some that stand out that you just, they're etched into your memory.
Well, obviously, definitely the big festivals like Ultra and H2O, which is coming up now soon.
Tell me what's going to go on. This is H2O, right?
H2O.
When is it? September? No.
September, I think it's the 8th.
Well, that's
it's
already
a Sunday.
Passed.
Sunday. October.
Oh, it's October.
October. Okay. I'll find it.
Check right now. It's fine. You can look it up. We don't have to
rush.
Wait. Amanda, of course she knows.
Of course.
Yeah? It's the first.
The first of October. Thank you. The Sunday.
You have to help these old adult DJs try to find
when I have to tell you when you're playing.
Yeah, listen, I'm managing 20 other DJs.
Do you need an assistant? Because Amanda will be your assistant.
No.
We can't.
I don't know. I can't assist you at the party because I'll now get wild.
Yes,
but I can kind of assist
I'll be assisting you at the party. So, the festivals are always amazing. HGO has been around for so many years now. I've played at basically almost every one of them.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of my overseas trips have been amazing. UK, I played at the Egg in London. Ministry of Sound.
That must have been amazing.
Yeah, there was a time when Goldfish came over. And when you go overseas and you play, it's always South Africans that come and listen to you. Like, that heard you. Expats that heard you 10 years ago when they were your biggest fans, they come out and listen. So you get there, you expect to play to this British crowd and you want to play like this.
Yeah. How's it, Lady Leah?
Underground tech, yeah.
How's it,
and you know how you know.
It's nice to see you.
You know how you know that you are around South Africans and it's a South African party?
How?
Is that South Africans drink tequila neat. They don't have, most of the occasions, they don't have the salt and lemon or anything
savages.
Like that. And they have a lot of shooters.
Oh.
Whereas other places, even Ibiza, they don't do shooters like we do shooters. Mm. Not a chance.
Listen, when I started, the DJs were mostly sort of, they do their set and they were mostly very together. There was something, I remember I went to a party once with Darren Scott, of all people.
Mm.
And he said, he lined up these horrible suitcases.
Oh, jeez.
And he made us all drink them.
Shivers.
And then after that, I thought, well, clearly, this is what people do. Because what did I know? But I didn't like the suitcases, so I found tequila.
Or Jägermeister.
No. Hell no. I've always been a purist.
Okay.
And then that would be my thing. But I'd order a lot, and I'd give other people. I'd always give, if I saw there was a guy with a really hot girlfriend, but he was edgy about, because she was maybe looking at me, then I'd get them both a shooter so they could calm the fuck down and get on and enjoy their night, right? That's, because that's it. You've got to make everybody feel good. You're there, you're the party person. You have to make everybody feel welcome. You have to give them a show. You must make them feel special. You do the pictures, all that stuff.
And yeah, like some of the riders of my DJs, there's a bottle of tequila in the actual technical rider, but it's not all for them. You know, in your set, you go and you pour it. And
you share it for everybody, with everybody.
You make people have fun.
And then you have shitty parties too. Like you go to some gigs and it's dead. They haven't marketed it properly. Mm. They're relying entirely on you. There's this world of social media.
And then they
now.
Blame you.
Yeah, they blame you. But they've got to pay.
Yeah, well, this is where I come in now with my agency. I've started Flipside Management. And I manage DJs like Carl Kasim, Chanda Monkey, Vimo, Das Kapital.
Carl Kasim's doing well, huh?
Yeah, very People much so. Him. Very much so. Him and his brother are doing the cinema thing. You know, these days it's like producer DJs. Mm-hmm. So their tracks is what makes them big. And, you know, and then... Like Kyle, the radio thing comes in, and then you get
Kyle Word, right?
Kyle
Kasim. Yeah.
Kyle Kasim, yes. Them, but yes, there are. In our careers, there's always been times when there has been that party that's been a flop.
Sure.
And then you're like, okay, well, I want to get paid, and they're like, well, we don't have any money at the door. That doesn't happen anymore. I don't allow that. They will. They have to be paid in full before they even. Leave their house.
Nice. What's the smallest crowd? Like I once went to this thing in Pretoria, and there was a brand new club. They'd done no marketing, and I walked in, and it was 3-4 people standing at the bar.
Did you still play?
No. Well, I was only on an. I arrived an hour early because I didn't know where it was. So then I sat and talked to the manager and said, you know, I hope this place warms up. It's a nice place. You know, you're gonna make small talk. And then when I was meant to go on. There were maybe another 15, 20 people.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I had to play. You play a set. You do an hour for those 20 people? 30 people. You do it, right?
Yeah.
You got to do it.
It was so
depressing, though.
You do it because...
I was messaging all my friends saying, where are we going after this? This is horrible.
It still happens, you know? It still happens to the biggest guys that pull the biggest crowds. It happened this weekend to some of my DJs. And, and you know.
It's like when a stand-up comedian gets booed off stage. Yeah. Some of the best stand-ups.
No way.
Yeah, it's happened. Because people have no respect for stand-up comedians. This is the problem. Mm. Is you go to the ballet, you're not going to boo if they make a mistake.
Yeah.
If you go to the theater, you're not going to be rude. People are civilized. But you go to see a stand-up comedian or a DJ and they don't do a great job. People get rude.
Yeah. I've had people like throw things at me once
and drunk
times.
And drunk people, right?
Yeah, you know, if they throw like a bottle of beer or whatever at you, it can be quite dangerous.
Can I tell you a cool story? I was at a party in Belito once. I think it was Matric Rage. Mm-hmm. Some guy in the crowd threw a bottle, and I was looking down and I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I reached my hand up and I caught the fucking thing in the air.
Really?
I caught
it with one hand.
And it was one hand. It was a fluke. There was no train. It was like a Jedi. I looked like a moth. I grabbed this bottle and I went straight on the mic and I said, don't mess with me tonight.
You're
and the like whole crowd
Iron
was
Man.
Like,
was
they thought, no, because they all saw it. Because they're all looking at you the whole time, right?
Jeez.
So they saw me catch this thing. I felt like a superhero.
Hectic.
It was amazing.
You actually just reminded me now about one of the craziest things that I've ever seen. It was at Rage.
Yeah.
And I think it was the last night of Rage. It was the biggest night, biggest stage, biggest crowd, everything. And the biggest the promoter, from Rage.
Who?
Not Greg.
Gareth.
Yes.
Yeah, other Gareth.
He got on stage.
Fucking lunatic.
He got on stage and stripped naked.
No.
Pants down, balls out.
Yes, balls.
Proper. Flapping it around to the crowd on the stage.
He was and these are kids.
Yeah, kids. And this was his
he's
party.
The promoter.
It was the last night.
That's almost criminal, actually.
I think I actually took photos.
Well done. You must immediately pass those around.
He just had that moment where, this is my
party.
I'll do it the hell I want to. And he just
I haven't ever got
stripped.
Naked. I haven't ever got naked, but I did often take girls into the DJ box with me if they were really pretty and like looking at me the whole time.
Oh.
No. I'm not gonna necessarily do anything in the DJ booth.
Trust me, that's where all the Gareth stories end.
There. What do you mean?
You never tell better stories other than that.
Well, I'm not gonna, you know what, Ben? You don't have to go all the way.
Yes, you do, because you don't go all the way ever.
I'm not going to tell you the whole
thing. Just once or twice, Gareth.
I don't know. Listen, I, out of respect, I stop when...
These girls are anonymous, though. Okay. I'm in a loving relationship, and you talk about anonymous girls that you've already forgotten. It's hardly the same thing.
What do you think happens, Ben?
I don't know. I'm all ears,
Gareth. You go back to the hotel or the bed and breakfast that you're at. You're both drunk out of your mind. You have really terrible sex. And then the next morning, you try to get her out as quickly as possible.
See, that's already a better story. Next time, finesse it a bit, and then we're there.
That's the story. It's normally the same story over and over again. If you're really lucky, it's her and her friend, like we were saying just now with Lady
Lou. Bow.
That's why you're passing the tequilas around like that.
Not really. It started because if you're having, and you sometimes don't feel well or you're having a boring night, like you just don't want to be there, especially now because you've got a kid and you've got other things going on in your life. So some nights you're just not in the mood.
Yeah.
And you have to man up and party with the people, and then you can go as soon as you
sweet
possibly.
Tequilas will put you there.
That's right. It gives you that little bit of an up, you know?
I'm happy to have the tequilas, you know, every time. The only thing that stops me lately is trying to stick to my diet.
Yeah.
So I have these phases of like 3 months I won't drink and I'll do very well, and then like it'll be, you know, someone's big birthday, whatever, and then I'll like have 2 months where I drink again and then I'll stop again. But, you know, I suppose it's all about balance. But
you're testing yourself as well, because if you can stop for 3 months, that means you have control. Like the moment you can't stop, then you know you've got a problem.
Mm.
And it is your profession. So while other
it's hard, hey, shopping in the entertainment industry and not having a drink, and performing and socializing. You know,
and every time anyone comes up to you, hey, Leo, do you want to drink?
No, they get insulted. Yeah. Proper. Even the club owners and managers and stuff. When you say, you know, no, I'm not going to have a tequila, or I'll just have a water.
They think you're rude.
They think you are. Proper.
But it is, you see, here's the thing that I don't know, and I don't want to turn this into a session where it's just you and I reminiscing about like the DJing days, because you've still got like plenty of shit going on that we've got to talk about. But there is a difficulty in being the entertainer. For you, it's work while they're having fun. And while they're having, I mean, while they're at work, you're having fun. But you don't really get to, because people don't party on a Monday night, on the night you've got off. So you can have a dinner or you can have something civilized happen. Mm-hmm. But you don't get to like enjoy the whole thing like they do, because you have to do a professional set.
Yeah.
You're being paid to be there. And if you don't deliver, your reputation, every set you do, your reputation's on the line. Because if you do a terrible one, word spreads like that. Wow, I saw Leah the other night. She was crap.
Yeah, they say you're only as good as your last performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends. I have a lot of fun when the crowd is having a lot of fun, because I feed off that, and my set is better. As soon as it's quiet and the people are miff, like you'll even hear it in my mixing.
People are miff.
What rank?
There's Victoria coming out of me.
I love it. Rank the cities in South Africa for parties. Which cities are the best, and which ones are toilet? And be honest. Nobody's gonna stop booking you if you say some place is shitty.
No,
they'll try to prove you wrong.
This is your opinion.
No.
I think, so Joburg, depending on where you go, for me, Truth is, as a DJ and I get to experiment my music, that's the ultimate place for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Durban is quite wild lately. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few places in Durban that's going absolutely crazy. And Origin is just insane. Always. It's amazing.
That was so many drunken nights. Bad.
Yeah.
Don't they have like a place called The Kitchen somewhere in Origin?
Oh, they keep fixing it and changing it up,
like,
and everything.
There's different floors. Yeah. And then when you like, oh,
it's a bit of a labyrinth.
You can get lost
so
in there and do whatever you want.
Once in a place called Cape to Cairo.
Yes,
remember that?
Yeah, that's also huge, hey?
It was like a black Durban Jewel, because it used to be it was segregated. So
it's
you
more
used
of
to
an
have,
Indian market, I think.
Well, now. But then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, once. So you used to have like, I went and played a gig once, just an Indian crowd.
Yeah.
There was no white or black person
in
there.
Oh, they love it.
I had the best party ever.
Where was it again?
Crazy.
It was in Tongat.
Tongat, yes.
That's hell yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously places like Cape Town in December is
epic.
Hectic. I mean, even just the beaches is a jaw. But I mean, it's just traffic is traffic in Cape Town now has all of a sudden gone
insane.
Upside down. I don't know what has gone on there, but anyway.
So daytime gigs are interesting because they're different to nighttime. And they're sometimes a little more fun.
Yeah, I think so. You get some sleep when you get home. But it depends, you know, if where you are. But I think, yes, daytime gigs are awesome. There's also a lot of these food festivals that are happening that are pretty cool.
You like doing those?
Yeah, because sometimes it's a bit of a family gathering and it's nice when you can take your kids around.
Do you take your partner to these things?
Yes.
Huh?
All the time. He loves it. He loves to dance. He loves my music. We dance together.
It would be a real problem if he didn't like your music. If he loved you, but he hated your music.
He actually likes rock as well. He also likes rock and heavy metal, but no, he definitely likes my music. No. He'll still come to me and say, oh, that set wasn't really your best, but, you know. But most of the time, it's amazing.
Go back to being, what was he, an accountant? Tell him.
No, he's in IT.
Shut up and be an IT guy. Don't tell me what to do with my music.
No, in fact, it would probably start with me saying, oh, I don't know if that was really a good set. And he'll be like, it's good, but, you know.
So tell me about Flipside Recordings.
So Flipside started as Flipside Records, the record store. And then it records sort of went out. And then I changed it into a studio where we did albums and recordings and that sort of thing. And now it's Flipside Management, where I manage, and we're an agency that basically signs DJs and handles their bookings and management and all of that. So it's been going very, very well. It's almost 2 years now.
Fantastic.
Can't believe it, actually. It feels like yesterday when we started. And I've had to sort of hire people because we're just so busy. And, you know, we've got some of the top DJ producers in the country, and I still sign DJs now and then, but I'm very, very selective because, you know, you can't over have too much on your plate. And DJs it's a lot to handle, you know.
Yeah, because then they're all like any creative people. Yes. It's like herding cats, right?
Yeah. So some of them are very bad at, like, you know, answering their phone or sending you an email or
catching their
things.
Flight on time.
Or that.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
Then it becomes you're the mother and you have to call them
straight
where
away.
The hell are you?
Yeah.
I've heard some DJs are a problem.
Oh no, I'm their PA, travel agent, everything. I do it all together. And yes, you know, trying to just keep them in check and at the same time, you know, let them have fun like we build a brand
and enjoy themselves.
And at the same time, not be too crazy. So, like, every now and again, sit them down and say, listen, calm down on this a little bit, you know. Don't have to put it out.
You don't have to finish all the drugs in the first hour.
You know, to be honest.
In the first hour? I thought maybe you'd say, like, in your first year, maybe.
No, Gareth, I must tell you, the drug thing is not a part of my DJs. No. And you know,
I never did it, so. You know,
I've actually put this on Facebook, and I'm very proud of my DJs, is that none of them touch any drug. I promise you. And it's surprising to me because back in my days,
all the
DJs were doing something. You know what I mean? And it was part of the scene. And it kind of says something about the youth generation now, is that I don't think that there's as much drugs as what they were. I think there's more drinking. There might be a bit of weed in there. Obviously, there's people that are still doing things on the side, but it's definitely not like it used to be.
I think that's a good thing, right?
But, you know, a lot of my DJs are sort of hyperactive, even just with one tequila or even with nothing. So I can't imagine how they would be if they did do drugs. Thank God they're not.
I heard about you at this German Love Parade.
Yes.
1.2 million people?
Yeah. It was actually me and a few other South African DJs.
Wow. Jeez,
it was like my jaw was on the floor the entire time.
Tell me about it. Where do they do this?
It's actually stopped now, unfortunately. A few years ago, there was a stampede and a few people died. But
why do they do that for a few people who... so those few people, why do they spoil everyone's fun for those stupid idiots?
Out of 1 point something.
Yeah. 1 point... 5 million or 1.2 million.
So selfish of those people to die. Really?
No, well, what happens is at these parades is that there's a whole bunch of trucks that move through the city.
Yes.
And each truck would obviously be a brand or a city or a country or whatever the hell. I mean, you can buy a truck and pimp it out, you know. And there was a promoter, a German promoter, that brought a whole bunch of South Africans over, and we had this truck and it had our names all over it and everything. Amazing. And it, all the trucks sort of moved through the city. But I'm telling you, as you go, you don't see floor. You just see literally sea of heads down every street. Wherever you look, there's just a sea of heads. And then there's obviously the big main stage, which happens a little bit later. And jeez, it was crazy. I mean, we flew to all the way to Germany, and we literally had, I think, like 40 minutes set each, just to sort of like fit everybody in. Jeez. And we tried to push as many tracks as we could. Like on the second, the next DJ was like, I'm taking over right this second, you know. But it was freaking amazing. I mean, Ricardo da Costa was with me, whole bunch of, who else was there? Quite a few South African DJs. And yeah,
I heard that was the night. I heard that was the night you made your son.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
All about love.
All right, so we've got a lot more that we could talk about here, but okay. I've just seen we're out of time. So what can we plug? What are you up to? What do you need people to know about the next couple of weeks?
So you can always just check my social media, DJ Lady Leah. I've got quite a few gigs coming up. H2O, like I said, Ultra's coming next year. There's quite a New Year's, I'm in St. Francis.
That's cool.
Yeah. You've done St. Francis, isn't it?
We did the ruins. The first year when they had Amy Lee was there. You remember Seether, that South African rock band?
Yes.
And Amy Lee was with Evanescence. She was dating him at the time.
Geez.
And we had a massive lineup. I think it was 12,000 people that year for New Year's Eve. Jeez, it was huge.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, I'm all over the country. Yeah, look me up. Send me a tweet. Anything.
You reply
Facebook,
to everybody?
Sorry?
You reply to everyone?
I do.
That's also...
Unless they send me a message saying hi.
It's important though, right? You got to
just
talk
say
to
hi,
you.
How are you? Like, can I please
say
ask
something.
You something?
Don't be boring.
I'm not going to say hi back.
No.
So just say something. Then I will reply.
This is
a public service announcement. Where's my loud hailer, for God's sake? Here it is.
Okay.
Let me do this.
It's a PSA.
Listen, people. Do not waste Lady Leah's time with bullshit on social media, please. Make sure you have something to ask her. You want to say something important.
I will reply.
She'll reply, but please don't waste her time with peace and love, peace and love.
There we go.
Make sure they're okay with this. But you're looking great. I'm so happy
Thank
to see you
so
again.
Much.
It's been a long
it's
time
awesome.
Since I last saw you. And you're still a leading light in this world. And you make me happy because
Thanks.
When I see you, I think of good times that we've had and good times that we're going to have.
Oh, and vote for me, please.
What's this for?
The Dance Music Awards.
Yes.
There's Dance Music... DMA's? DMSA. Dance Music...
DMASA.
DMASA. Yes. Sorry.
She's very good at behind the decks, but terrible at spelling.
I know. It's not my strong point. But anyway, yes, vote for me in the female DJ section. And a lot of my other DJs have got a lot of awards coming up. So go on there and make your votes for all the different
sections. No, just vote for Leah. Don't mess around. And I was going to play Never Have I Ever with you, but we've run out of time.
Oh, thanks so much, Gareth.
That would have been fun.
I appreciate you guys having me?
Sure.
And it's been so much fun.
It is fun. And I'm glad that you also, we got to talk a little bit because I think a lot of people know your name, but they don't know a huge amount about you. Many people may have been at your parties, but they don't know that you are this businesswoman. Yeah, and this mom and all these things because you're a multifaceted,
and I'm still
multi-talented
Lady Leah.
Person. You are Lady Leah. My lady, thank you.
Thank you, guys. It's been so nice having you. Right. Oh, well, being with you.
Yes.
Let's go have a hubbly.
Yeah, let's go up onto
y'all,
the roof.
I am going home. I need to start moisturizing right
now.
You're
moisturizing at the start of the show, see?
I am putting my gown on, and that's how I'll
Ben's going to get the hubbly fired up, and we're going to start our Friday properly, all right?
I'm going to get some snacks while Amanda sets it up.
All right. Very well, Amanda's the queen of the hubbly, so. Yeah, come and sit with us for a while, Leah. And,
yes.
And whatever you're doing this weekend, make sure that you behave yourself.
This is CliffCentral.com.